Join KHDK, and I'm pretty sure my wife and kids and myself, that's almost confirmed, this Thursday, 6:30 p.m. for Live on the Boulevard at the Stephen Young, not Steve Young, Amphitheater at the El Dorado Hills Town Center. It's a free concert. That means, hey, no money.
Free.
It's free. Super Huey is the name of the band. It's the Huey Lewis Experience. I'm very excited. Very, very excited.
I love Huey Lewis.
For more info, you should go, Katie. You should come with us.
This is Thursday?
This is Thursday at 6:30. For more info, visit eldoradohillstowncenter.com. Now, this week, NFL camps are opening. We're looking at it right now. There's all kinds of sports shows live at different camps. We're looking, I think.
Ron Jaworski in a Tommy Bahama
shirt.
Yeah,
shocker.
You know it's football season.
You can smell the grass, and as Nate said yesterday, the faint hint of BO in the air. Before you know it, it'll be crisp fall days.
That's right.
Smoking meat at 8 a.m. Oh, yeah. All week long, we are, of course, the home of the Raiders. And let me clarify, all season long, we're home of the Raiders. But all week long, we'll be looking at the AFC West. We talked to Charles Davis yesterday about the NFL in general. But we're going to focus and hunker down on specific teams for the rest of the week. We will finish off the week with your Raiders on Friday as we go in-depth as to what to expect in training camp before we really get into our season previews. But today, we focus on the defending Super Bowl champion, Denver Broncos. Denver Broncos, defending Super Bowl champions, 12-4 last year, and my goodness, a few questions about this team for defending Super Bowl champion, Nate. It's going to be an interesting year.
Be testing their faith in John Elway, losing both Peyton Manning and Brock Osweiler. How comfortable do you feel as a Broncos fan putting your hopes for a repeat in the hands of Mark Sanchez?
Oh, geez.
Oh, wow. Well, and this was the best defense in the NFL last season. And that's, I think, the big question mark is, was it a fluke? Are teams going to be adjusted to it and know how to attack it? Or are they going to be able to build on what they did last year and be, shockingly, even better?
A guy who knows a lot about having a target on his back co-hosts the Drive on 104.3 The Fan in Denver with Big Al. D-Mac will join us, Darren McKee, in just moments. We'll talk to him and break down what we can about these Broncos. And you guys, I think, nailed it. You know, you've got a tremendous defense. This was almost the antithesis of the Denver Bronco team that just a couple years prior had gotten destroyed by the Seattle Seahawks in the Super Bowl. John Elway understood exactly what was wrong with that team. He built that defense, or should I say added to that defense, and they went in and really took, I think, a page out of Seattle's playbook when they went into that game last year against Carolina. And I don't want to discount, speaking of Seattle, I think they actually helped the Broncos win a Super Bowl in two ways. Number one, they gave John Elway a little bit of that blueprint. He didn't want to deal with that again. Number two, speaking of blueprints, we forget the NFC Championship game when the Carolina Panthers just came out and throttled Seattle, and then Seattle just built and built and built, and they damn near came back and tied that game. I think that momentum got carried into the Super Bowl, and you saw what happened. Now this year, you've got a defending Super Bowl champion, but you've got some big questions that are going into this season for those Broncos. And joining us right now, the aforementioned guy who, like I said, knows what it's like to walk through life with a giant target on his back. From 104.3, The Fan in Denver, co-host of The Drive, it's our good friend. I like to say our good friend. It's at least our acquaintance, Darren McKee, D-Mac. D-Mac, it's Dave, Katie, Nate. Thanks for joining us. Good morning.
I consider us good friends. I mean, you know, we share a dream book. I mean, you know, it's
D-Mac, nobody really likes Dave, so he always has to have that disclaimer.
That's what she
said. Well, for the record, I like Dave.
Thank you.
You got a friend. You have a friend.
We bonded at the last Super Bowl. We met, and now we're real life friends, and now you've got yourself you've got yourself a nice big shiny Super Bowl ring, or at least a replica, or at least a nice poster, or a Sports Illustrated football. Either way, your team won the Super Bowl just as you had predicted, D-Mac.
Yes.
What's the biggest? Yes. I know this is an easy, stupid, dumb sports radio question, but I'll throw it at you because I'm stupid. What is the single biggest question leading into this season for the Broncos?
I've got no questions leading into the Broncos. Zero. I mean, they won the Super Bowl with the worst starting quarterback in the NFL last year. So can't get much worse than that. The offensive line has gotten better. They have some depth now at the running back position. That's kind of interesting. They got their top two wide receivers. They've beefed up their tight end position. They've got a quarterback in Mark Sanchez who will manage things okay. And they got a guy for the future in Paxton Lynch. Defensively, you lose Malik Jackson and Danny Trevathan. That's tough. We'll see how that blends together. But you still have the core. Well, you know what? I guess I do have a question. It's not Von Miller, which was what we were obsessing on for the past 2 months. I guess my question is Aqib Talib, because he shot himself, somebody else shot him. Think about this. He claims somebody else shot him. Just picture this. Through the back of his right thigh, through his right calf. Just look at your bodies a little bit and imagine, how in the world would somebody else shoot you in that direction?
Now we're getting into math and anatomy and like all these things.
Back and to the left. Yeah, exactly.
Right. So that's a bit of a question in terms of, will he get suspended? What's it going to be? How's his health? That sort of thing. But believe it or not, they've got a lot of depth there at corner, and they'll probably be okay. I don't see a lot of questions with the Broncos. I see a really, really good team.
Despite the fact, D-Mac, that you're unwilling to admit that the quarterback is the biggest question, Mark Sanchez, come on now. But my thing for them is, last year defensively, they just dominated teams. I mean, they were number one overall, top five in nearly every important category. But do you think there's any kind of water in the fact that maybe this season teams will have figured that out a little bit and it won't be as clear cut for them defensively?
Von Miller could line up next to you and tell you, I'm going to run around to your left side, I'm going to dip on my third step, and I'm going to sack the quarterback. And you can sit there and say, Von Miller is going to rush on my left side, he's going to dip on the third step and try to get the quarterback. You can tell yourself that as many times as you want, but can you stop it? And that is the big difference. Wade Phillips' defense is very simple, guys. It's not really that complicated. It's just that he believes in a lot of pressure and bringing it all the time. And, you know, I guess there is another question mark, and that might be the health of DeMarcus Ware. He missed all of the OTAs and minicamps. So I guess that is significant.
Yeah, geez.
Getting choked up. That's a question, because there's no doubt that helped Von Miller. But Von is Von's a freak. I mean, you know, we've been seeing it for a while, and he proved it last year in the playoffs in the Super Bowl, and he's, you know, now got his big deal, and unless something bad happens, like J.J. happened to J.J. Watt, you know it's coming. It's no secret, but can you stop it? And the answer's been no. There's no big secret to the Broncos defense, but can you stop it? And we'll see. I don't know what there is to figure out. Can you figure out how to be a better athlete than Von Miller? If you can figure that out, I guess you're in good shape.
Darren McKee joining us on KHTK. Darren, when Brock Osweiler left, you know, he went to the Texans. They offered him a whole bunch of money, all that. Didn't seem like there were a lot of tears shed in Denver. But, you know, that story for the most part remained silent. I think Brock Osweiler felt like he got shafted maybe a little bit by Denver. But I guess my question is, you know, behind the scenes, who really won in that? I mean, the Broncos end up with Mark Sanchez. They don't get the guy they were grooming behind Peyton Manning. But at the same time, they didn't really want to pay Brock Osweiler that much money. So I guess who won out of that situation?
Who won? How's your checking account these days? Who won? Brock Osweiler won. I mean, the Broncos valued him at about a $8, $9, $10 million guy, and he got 18 per from Houston. No, Brock won. And by the way, Brock doesn't have a little beef with the Broncos. He's got a huge beef with the
you
Broncos.
Think?
He was completely the amount of times he was disrespected by management, coaches, Peyton Manning himself. I mean, it's legendary. I mean, don't forget, this is a guy who beat Cincinnati on the road in overtime, beat New England at home in overtime during the regular season. He was down by 6 points. 6 points with 8 minutes to go in the third quarter against San Diego, a horrible team. The Broncos were -5 to that point. -5. Awful. Most teams -5 are down by 30. And they pulled out Brock Osweiler for Peyton Manning. And I guess the rest is history. But part of the rest that's history in that little story is that Brock Osweiler was forever done with the Broncos. How much so? He didn't show up for the White House photo with the president. He didn't come back for the ring ceremony, which was unbelievable here. Brock Osweiler just doesn't want anything to do with the Broncos. He's not a fan of the management. And I'll give you a quick little story. In that game against San Diego, Peyton Manning, for 4 straight years, wore a different suit to home games. A different suit. No other Broncos player would wear a suit. You don't have to dress up for home games. Manning would wear a suit because he would always be on the podium after the game talking to the press. For that game against San Diego, it was the only home game in 4 years Peyton Manning did not wear a suit and tie. He did not think he was going into that game. He did not. He just went out there because he knew that this could be it, and he didn't want to go out, you know, crying like a baby, pretending to be hurt at that point. So he did go out there. I give him credit for that, but he did not expect to play in that game. So everything that happened in a fairy tale, I guess there's a bad guy, and there's always bad ramifications. An equal reaction to a positive reaction is that Brock wanted nothing to do with the Broncos, and as soon as he got a better offer, he was out of here. And it is a big loss. It's a huge loss. But then the big question is, would you have won the Super Bowl with Brock Osweiler? My argument is yes, because Peyton Manning was so terrible. But then again, when you talk to the players on the team, they'll tell you that Manning gave them a certain sense of confidence, I guess, to be the worst offensive producing offense ever to win the Super Bowl. That's real confidence for you. But that's just part of the big story. So we've got Mark Sanchez.
So with all that said, would you give him Brock Osweiler $18 million?
No, but I would have signed him during the season. I would have aggressively tried to sign him after the New England game. Derek Wolfe took a hometown discount. Chris Harris took a hometown discount. I would have been much more open with Brock as our guy for the future. And after he beat New England in overtime at home, and they had been grooming him for such a long time, that was the time to get it done during the season. And they just didn't really quite believe in the guy. They never really did until it was too late.
Darren McKee, DMAC, from 104.3, The Fan in Denver, joining us as we focus on the Denver Broncos today. I want to throw out a prediction, and you tell me how full of garbage I am. Devontae Booker from Sacramento, California, will start for the Denver Broncos at some point this year.
Well, I mean, if C.J. Anderson gets hurt, maybe. I mean, that's not the plan. They way overpaid for C.J. Anderson, a Cal guy, a Northern California guy. There you go. You got don't be stepping one Northern California guy over another, by the way. But they're very, very, very committed to C.J. However, Devontae looked good when he was out here in OTAs and camp, and they like him a lot. And we'll see if he can pass block. You know, that's always an important deal there for the Broncos running back, especially in Kubiak's offense. So we'll see. But no, Devontae is going to be a big, 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 big part of the plan. And Ronnie Hillman, a Southern California guy, forget SoCal, right?
Yes.
He might be in trouble. We'll see.
DMAC, to piggyback a little bit off of what you just said, you know, you talked earlier about Von Miller. Obviously, he is the heart of that Broncos defense. But you mentioned C.J. Anderson. I guess the big question going into this season in terms of the offense is who really is going to be the heart of that offense? Do you see that as Anderson?
Well, he'll be the running back part of it. I think you're going to see the tight ends be a bigger deal. That's a good question. I'm not quite sure. I think initially C.J. is going to be the star of the show, and we'll sort of go from there. But for the first time in a long time, the Broncos, with C.J. Anderson, may have a back that they give the ball to, you know, 23, 24, 25 times a game, every game. And that has not been the case out here in quite a while. But that's the plan. So that's a lot riding on C.J. Anderson's shoulders, I guess.
Here's my question for you. We're talking about Mark Sanchez and all the stuff going on. Talk to me about Paxton Lynch. That was a very, very intriguing pick by John Elway. I think he got a steal out of that, at least the position he got Paxton Lynch, which of course, the defending Super Bowl champions need a steal in the draft. But how close to ready is he?
Oh, 2 years away.
Yeah.
Not even close. It was funny. The best practice he had all off season was the first OTA. I mean, dude, it was incredible. First OTA, and he was lighting it up. I mean, he looked unreal. Well, they were running about 5 or 6 plays. So he spent a lot of time getting ready for those five or six plays, I guess, in front of the media. And then from there on, he looked like your typical rookie. He was actually put down the depth chart to number three behind a guy named Trevor Siemian. I don't know if you've ever even heard of this guy. But Trevor Siemian was drafted out of Northwestern last year and took over to replace Zach Dicer, got him booted. So Trevor Siemian, actually, believe it or not, is the most prepared quarterback for the Broncos to start the season, but they've got the bigger investment into Mark Sanchez, so he'll get the first shot. But trust me, it wouldn't be a surprise. If Trevor Siemian, how about this for some breaking news, is the starting quarterback for the Broncos day one, don't be surprised. I would be shocked if Paxton Lynch is really ready to go until, boy, next year at the earliest. He's just got so much learning to do. He's very athletic. He's got a huge arm. Very nice guy. He likes to look like a pirate, and he has told us that he'd rather be like the Johnny Depp pirate rather than the Peter Pan pirate.
Oh, nice.
But he likes
okay.
to look like a pirate.
Okay.
He's got that going for him, okay. and he's bald. So he'll be good, but not for a while. Not for a while.
Darren McKee, D-Mac of 104.3, The Fan in Denver. An off-field question for you in kind of a weird way. The naming rights for the stadium are up for sale, obviously, because Sports Authority is going through bankruptcy court right now. I had read that there was a deadline in terms of a bank that has taken over to try and sell the rights and all of this legal stuff that's coming into play. The original deadline was last Tuesday. They didn't receive a single bid, so they extended it to last night. Is there any update on, I don't know, the name of the stadium the Broncos are going to be playing in?
I haven't heard anything. You know, everybody here loves, you know, just wishes they could just call it Mile High Stadium, but mm-hmm. it's a different feel. And Joel's the president of the organization. We talked to him, and what he pointed out was that the naming rights help to pay for the upkeep of the stadium and other things that really make visiting the stadium. It's a wonderful stadium. However, I'm going to tell you, Sports Authority was a nightmare from the beginning. The first thing Sports Authority did was come in here and paint everything red. You know, everything looked like the Kansas City Chiefs. You know, the logo was, and I get it, that's their logo, but you can't make it orange. It can't be the same design and just put it in orange. I mean, there were just big places in the stadium that you might not notice from watching on TV, but are just like painted Kansas City red, and it was ridiculous. And this is the second failed business because we had Invesco. That didn't go so well. And now Sports Authority Field. So I don't know. I mean, it's a lot of money, $3.5 million a year to put your name on the building without any kind of like perceivable benefit for your company. So I don't really get it. I don't know what they're going to do and where they're going to go with it. The fans here just, they hate Sports Authority in terms of, you know, the field. Nobody calls it Sports Authority. Nobody really likes that whole thing, so they can't wait for that to come down. What we do like is going into Sports Authority and buying golf shirts for like $3.
I know.
So, but besides that, it's a little bit of an embarrassment. But you know, it's kind of a behind the scenes thing. And frankly, who knows what any of these stadiums? You guys are O.co or
no, we're Sleep Train Arena, soon to be Golden One. That's the Bay Area.
See,
come on.
Didn't even know. Yeah. And then the 49ers.
That's how much you care.
What are the 49ers?
I don't even know.
Levi Stadium.
Oh, that's kind of cool. By the way, what an I'm thinking back on the Super Bowl, my week in Northern California, and I just want to say, making the field a skating rink, it was fantastic. It was a great idea. The grass was so, you know what's funny? Really quick. The grass was so green and shiny, and they were falling all over the place. Our turf out here in Denver, listen, grass dies in January, okay? It's okay. It's the way it goes. It's nature. So the field kind of looks crappy, but I promise you this, the field at Sports Authority Field is actually great. I don't care what it looks like. The field itself holds up. It's in great shape. They do a great job there. That Super Bowl was ridiculous in terms of the field. The stadium was wonderful. We had an incredible time out there in San Francisco. I wish they could put the stadium a little further away from downtown San Francisco.
Yeah.
But aside from that, we had just a wonderful time out there.
Darren, I'm going to tell you a story.
Will this be the 12th year in a row the Raiders don't make the playoffs?
Oh, I knew it was coming. Yeah,
Nate, I'll skip over because that was my last question. Is in some sort of alternate crazy universe of Darren McKee and the Denver Broncos don't go 18-0 in the regular season, though there's only 16 games, and win the AFC West, who wins the AFC West?
Well, the Broncos do for the sixth time in a row. Duh.
But if
he's saying if that doesn't happen.
In a weird universe that I know you can't imagine.
That you can't exist
that
outside of.
The Broncos right. don't win the AFC West. Who does?
The Kansas City Chiefs.
Come on.
Is this really a question? Listen, you guys all think Khalil Mack is that great.
Yes.
I'm going to tell you, Khalil Mack had the game of his life against Michael Schofield, who had the worst game of his life, okay? Michael Schofield was, and by the way, Michael Schofield's gone. He's like a swing tackle now. He's not a starter. So calm down on Khalil Mack and how great he is.
He had a couple other good games too, Darren. That wasn't his only.
If I see another report about how Khalil Mack is better than Von Miller, I'm going to throw up.
Well, I don't know about that.
It's ridiculous. So you got plenty of problems there. You got Jack Del Rio. That's your first problem. And then it sort of just goes from there.
Wow. Just laying it on. Laying it on, D-Mac. We'd expect nothing less from you coming out of Denver.
We're going to make a bet at some point this season.
What's the bet? We're the Raiders. We're the only organization in the NFL that can't turn our organization around in a decade to get to the playoffs.
Listen,
the Broncos were 4-12. They drafted Von Miller, and 4 years later, they've been to the Super Bowl twice and won it one time. They won 5 AFC championships in a row, and the Raiders can't make the friggin' playoffs in a dozen years? I mean, it's ridiculous.
D-Mac, I think it's fantastic that you're putting two 49ers fans in Nate and Dave here in the position where they have to defend the Raiders team.
We're going to have all these Raider fans now.
Hey, 49ers fans, isn't it nice to finally have a coach you can understand when he speaks English? I mean, that must be a whole thing. And by the way, the 49ers are coming back here to Denver for a week of practice. This is where we knew Colin Kaepernick couldn't play quarterback anymore here in Denver when he came out and practiced against the Broncos. Colin Kaepernick is done. He's not worth hanging on to. I can't believe anybody wants him as their quarterback. I was terrified he was going to become the Broncos quarterback. The guy just doesn't have it. I don't know exactly why, but nobody looked worse than the 49ers in practice last year out here in Denver. So unless something significant is going on, I'm just going to look for a party with Alvin Smith and make sure that the 49ers are good hosts rather than playing in any kind of playoff.
I can't believe that you would go that in on Jim Tomsula and his command of the English language when he very clearly is only in the position that he's gotten to because he understands how to say yes, sir.
Wow. There you go. There's a bitter 49ers fan right there. I love it.
Well, we didn't even ever bring up John Elway hanging out in the corner at games with his salt lick, eating hay and chilling. I mean, we weren't going to go that deep on you. Jesus, Darren.
Well, whatever you want to do about the executive of the year, I don't care. We really don't care where he We don't care where he grazes as long as he's got a Super Bowl ring on him.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my God. I love you, D-Mac. You're welcome back anytime.
104.3, the fan. He is a co-host of The Drive, Big Al and D-Mac. We appreciate it. I kind of think we appreciate it. And we'll talk to you throughout the season, my man.
All right, guys. Sounds good. I'll talk to you later.
All right. Take care. You know, if he just showed some passion in his interviews.
I know.
Dull.
I was bored the whole time. The whole time.
From the 916, that guy in Denver should never come on Cage to K again.
Again.
Every time.
And those are my favorite guests.
They really are.
Isn't that weird?
They really are.
So it's one of those things where it's nobody wants to hear someone talk about their team and make sense.
That's what I don't understand actually either, because number one, like, I get a lot of joy out of, listen, a guy like that. He's clearly just trolling.
Yes.
Okay? And so
he's poking fun. That's all.
How is that not entertaining? Even if he's going after the Raiders. Like, listen, come on. Does anyone here agree with a word he said about Khalil Mack?
He's the home of the Raiders.
Yeah. Does anyone agree with a single word he said about Khalil Mack?
Never come on KHDK again. Never.
And that's why on Friday, when we get into the Raiders, we can talk about why he was so wrong in so many ways.
Oh, you know what would be an awesome troll move is on Friday when we do the Raiders, have D-Mac do the preview. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We got a lot of sound for you today. We'll also we'll lead off though with Kevin Durant and his restaurant business. That's all coming up next on The Drive, Sports 1140 KHDK. Our thanks to D-Mac, at least most of us. Thank him.
Ah,
Everything that I teased coming up, sound and Kevin Durant and all that, throw that out the window. We're going to do something else for a reason that will be clear in just a second. First off, I did want to mention this. Sony PlayStation, if you're a PlayStation owner, this is just being announced. They are going to be adding the NFL Network and NFL Red Zone channels to their PlayStation View. If you're not familiar with that, that's a way for you. A lot of people are cutting the cord when it comes to their cable and satellite services. Now, all of a sudden, you have the ability to get Red Zone on the PlayStation itself, which is a big deal.
Is it free?
No. It'll be a pay service. The thing I always get confused is there's like two Red Zones, and it confuses me. There's the DirecTV Sunday Ticket Red Zone that I always watch with Andrew Siciliano with the big flappy ears, who I love. And then there's like some other Red Zone. And
NFL Network specific one?
They're different. I don't know the other one, but I'm assuming it's that, and obviously not the DirecTV one because, you know, that's DirecTV. Here's why we're switching gears. Blake Ellington is a fine, fine writer and covers the Sacramento Kings, I think, as well as anyone, especially when he does sit-down interviews. Rudy Gay is in town for his Youth Skills Academy, and he sat down with Blake late yesterday. People throw out hyperbole like explosive, but I'll let you guys determine. I'm going to read a lot of this interview to you guys question by question for a couple things. First off, he says some very nice things about being in Sacramento, the fans, loving Sacramento as a family town, et cetera, et cetera. Then he's asked the question, you mentioned people are wondering if you're going to be here next season. I imagine you're like most of the guys in the league. You try not to pay attention. Does it bother you? Rudy says, it's been pretty loud as of late. It's hard not to pay attention to it. There's always ways to do things, and in this situation, I don't think it's being gone about the right way. No matter what your intentions to do with your players, I think the first thing you want to do is make sure people are happy with what you're doing. That has not been the case. They follow up by saying, so have you had any communication with the franchise as far as your future? And he says, no, I haven't. I've had communication, but not the kind of communication I would say I like. They ask him about his exit interview. He says, well, it's just basically how'd the season go. We should have done this. We should have done that. Those things weren't really discussed at that point. I think it's pretty obvious what situation is going on here. At this point in my career, I want some kind of consistency, and we don't have that here at all. This is Rudy Gay asked, if you had your ideal communication situation, what would you like to hear from the franchise? Rudy responded, you don't want to hear things on the internet. You don't want to hear things on Twitter. You'd like to hear it from the horse's mouth. Just be up front with people. That's all you have to do. He was asked about the direction of the team. This is from Blake Ellington's article on SacktownRoyalty.com. He said, quote, I have no idea. I suit up and give it my all. That's all I can do. Go out there and play as much as you can. We don't have anything to really build on, obviously. We have a new coach. I think that's the only thing we can really build on. New coach and seeing how it plays out. It gets better. Blake Ellington to Rudy Gay. Talking to you over the years, it seems like when Michael Malone was fired, things went downhill for you from the perspective of the franchise. Would you say that was the point from then on you've been confused about things? Rudy Gay responded, yes. I think that was the start of it. I try to stay out as much as I can as far as the organization. I do what I can control. But I think at some point you've got to have the players, their futures, and what they have at stake in mind when you make decisions. And I don't think that's happened. A frustrating season turns into a frustrating summer. The injuries that I've had, I took the time I had to take off, and I've tried to come back each year better than ever. Asked about George Karl and DeMarcus Cousins. Did that really tip the scales last year? Rudy Gay said, we knew that was going to happen going into the season. We knew what happened that summer. You could say that's part of it, but I just think the whole disconnect trickles down. It starts up top, and it trickles down. He said that he has not demanded a trade. He also asked about Dave Yeager. He said, honestly, let me read the question from Blake Ellington to Rudy Gay. What about next season? What do you think about Dave Yeager? He says, quote, I don't know. Honestly, I haven't paid attention. I don't even know who our new players are, to be honest with you.
Wow.
Finally, at this point in your career, Rudy Gay, what are you looking for as a player? Quote, stability. I have a lot of years left. Look at Jamal Crawford. Look at Paul Pierce. When they have that stability and they know what their worth is for a team and what their job is for a team, how they can work on that and play for the team. And then Blake interjected, when was the last time you felt that way about this team? He said, yeah, when I got here. That's why I signed my contract. I felt like there was direction at that point. And then finally said, you know, do you want to say anything to Kings fans? He said, no matter what happens, they've always been great to me. I love our fans. Like I always said, our fans are great. That's at SacktownRoyalty.com. Blake Ellington sitting down with Rudy at a Skills Academy yesterday. I think that's about as explosive as you can get besides other than
right,
him coming
Rudy's
out.
Rudy's the passive-aggressive post-it note of the NBA.
He's, yeah. He's not going to come out, and, you know, other than him demanding a trade. But we have nothing to build on.
So you want to say that he's the passive-aggressive post-it note of the NBA. Is anything that he was asked and any response that he had, is it wrong? Was he wrong?
No, I don't think so. And in fact, I think probably the thing that is going to get more overblown than anything might be the fact that he hasn't paid a lick of attention to what they've done in the offseason.
Yeah.
And that really doesn't bother me at all, because Rudy Gay's turning 30 in a couple of weeks. He's been around this league. I don't think it really matters to him until, like he said, he shows up, he does his job, okay? If he does his best, then maybe it'll help the team win. I don't feel like he's in any obligation to meet anyone or know anybody's name until he shows up for training
camp. What about we have nothing to build on?
I don't disagree with that either.
I think that his comments on not knowing who any of the people are that they've signed maybe has a little bit to do with the fact that maybe he doesn't feel like he needs to make an investment in what this team is doing. If he's feeling like his comments prior to that alluded to the fact that he's probably feeling a little bit like they're not communicating with him, so the writing's on the wall.
You now have, in the course of about a week, the two biggest stars on the Sacramento Kings. In one case, DeMarcus Cousins, when he said, "Well, I don't understand the draft," and that got blown up. And now you have Rudy Gay in much more detail, saying, "We don't have a direction. I haven't had communication with the team about that. I'm not happy in my role. We have nothing to build on."
Have we, you can correct me on this, but have we at any point heard Rudy Gay say something to the effect of, "Listen, I just didn't play well last year. And I haven't played well for a year and a half." I mean, I'm being honest. I don't think Rudy's a bad guy. He doesn't speak a great deal, but I don't recall him taking personal accountability for having a bad season, because that's what happened.
You know,
in a terrible season.
He didn't have a great season. But look, let's just break it down in the sense that, when did Rudy play well? Rudy actually played very well under Michael Malone. And coming in, the knock against Rudy was that he's a ball dominant, dribble the air out of the ball guard that has to have it in his hands to be able to do something, right? He's not the only player in the NBA that kind of definition is attached to. Mm-hmm. He played well under Michael Malone because Michael Malone got him to recognize that the ball needed to move. He needed to make better decisions, to trust in the people around him. All of these things. He made a commitment to be here under Michael Malone, and immediately after he signed that contract, they went and fired Michael Malone, which I believe the entire organization at this point has admitted was a mistake. So I cannot begrudge him for being upset about that, and I can also point to the fact that under Carl, he was bad because it was a bad system. You look at the fact that I'll go as far as to say it really wasn't a system. It was give Rajon Rondo the ball.
He had his highest field goal percentage in 6 years.
Under Carl. Because how many shots did he take?
14.
I mean, that career-wise, that has to go down, right?
It's two below his
career average. He was more times than not a part of the offense. So I'm not upset with him for coming out and saying these things, because players are put in these situations. They make decisions based on the situation that they're in. He made a decision
nonsense
to stay
there's
here
nothing,
under.
There's no clause in his contract that says you don't have to play if we don't hire the coach you like.
We'll
no.
continue
the guy
this.
Got
we'll
fired.
Continue.
Part of being a professional.
We'll continue Sorry. That thought. We'll continue this when Sorry. We get back. One more break Sorry. Left as we Sorry. Finish up. It's an explosive interview, I think, and there's a lot of passion here for a good reason. We'll continue to talk about Rudy Gay on the flip side. Sports 1140 KHDK. I can't remember. I hear our teases on the show. Do we have cool music behind our teases too? We do. Thanks, Matt. Appreciate it. 339-1140, 1-800. I was just asking. 1-800-920-1140. We've got two pair of tickets. Not just one, two pair. That's four of you to go see The Godfather with Katie Christensen and a couple other dudes. Studio Movie Grill next week. Why are we watching The Godfather at Studio Movie Grill at 6:30?
Because
it's awesome, and Katie's never seen it. StudioMovieGrill.com for more info. We got to unpack more of this Rudy Gay interview. I'm sure we'll be on this tomorrow. SacktownRoyalty.com. Check it out. During the show, we've been following one story. The name of the, or the address of the new arena is going to be 500 David J. Stern Walk. That news broke earlier today. I'm sure the Kings will comment on it probably later today. And there's been, I think, overall positive reception. I love the idea. Shocker. But there's also been a lot of negative. And one of the negative thoughts that I've gotten was, I don't like the Arena Street name being named by the guy who cost us a title in 2002 with Game 6.
Oh, for crying out loud.
Okay, I knew you'd love that. But here's a question I think I want to explore a little more tomorrow. If it came out, two things came out. If it came out that David Stern, in fact, knew and was behind some sort of NBA conspiracy in Game 6 with the officials to try to tip the scales towards the Lakers. That let's say, like, audio recordings were released or whatever. The same guy who hacked the Democrat emails hacked the NBA emails, and they got all this
mean
stuff.
Putin?
Yeah. Vladimir Putin hacked the NBA emails and found all kinds of emails about how David Stern and the NBA put up these. Anyways, it was proven. It's there. We now know. By the way, if you just joined in, this is a fantasy scenario that we now know. David Stern helped rig 2002. Would you, in retrospect, is that a good trade in exchange for, if it also came out, of which we pretty much already know, but officially, that David Stern rigged the process to make sure that Seattle could not take the Kings from Sacramento? Would you trade 2002 and having that series rigged in exchange for David Stern's favor in your pocket that you pull out and play the get-out-of-jail-free card to keep the Kings in Sacramento 12 years later, 11 years later? Do they outweigh each
your
other?
Your hypotheticals are so tough to answer because there's no, yeah.
What?
I mean, I get it. It's hypothetical, but, man,
well, yeah,
that's tough.
People are saying, there's a couple people out there like, I can't deal with the arena named after David Stern because of 2002.
I would say to them, like, maybe you put it in the past because it was 14 years ago. Like, some point you just move right the hell forward life.
I see. I'm of the, of course, shockingly, I'm in the crowd of, I will take that. It's like a bad breakup. I've used this analogy before. If your girlfriend or wife dumps you, really the only way to get over it is to replace them. You can look at all the Anthony Robbins framed photos of eagles flying in the sky that you want to motivate you through the world. But the only way you get over your heart being broken is by finding something else to fill that heart with, replacing the girlfriend or boyfriend. And I'm saying the only way 2002 goes away, the only way Steve Bartman goes away in Chicago is if the Cubs win a championship, if the Kings win a championship. So I'm just saying, the people that are upset with David Stern for 2002, if you put into perspective the whole Seattle situation and what he did there, for me, I've come to terms with it that way. I take the trade, but I don't know. I don't know if other people think that way.
I would hope that the people you're talking about certainly don't represent the majority of Kings fans.
Because
that would make it really hard for me
which
to
people,
like, find the people that are still, like, upset about that.
That's
and
the majority
actually,
of Kings fans.
No, Nate, it is.
You're asking me, is the question specifically, are the majority of Kings fans still upset about Game 6 in 2002? Is that the question?
And are, like, actually debating whether or not they would have rather lost the team and taken a title?
Oh, so thing's in question. You're not specifically asking about 2002, or are you?
No.
Okay.
I mean, like, listen.
Because I'd say about 98% of all Kings fans are still very upset about 2002.
Sad, you guys.
I think that's an accurate statement. I think it'd be somewhere, but if I put out a poll right now and only Kings fans answered it, no Laker fans, just Kings fans.
Well, it's one thing to still be upset about it. It's another thing to like still bring it up as a topic of conversation on a radio show or in a bar, like when you meet your.
I don't know. I thought we were going to talk about Rudy A. Nah. This threw me.
Nah, we got a lot to talk about.
I'm just envisioning all of the people, like the next time I'm out in a dive bar or something like that, going, oh, you're the guy on the radio? Like, remember 2002? Because the last time that happened, I wanted to punch that guy.
Is that what happened? Did somebody do that to
that
you?
That has happened before. So, I mean, it's one thing to still be upset about it. It's another to be like, oh, my God, Carmichael Dave, you're the Kings guy. Remember 2002? How much did that suck?
See, the problem is that when people do that to me, I'm like, dude, I know, right? Right?
Yeah, I know.
Okay, yeah.
You want to have that conversation. And
I mean, that's probably
it's like ongoing free therapy for you.
It really, you know, yeah. That is an excellent way to put it.
I'm
going
to find a way to respond to that. Just be like, I do remember 2002. It was the worst. I used Proactiv for the first time. It tore up my face. It was terrible.
Hey, before we go here, real quick, here is the audio. Of Alden's, excuse me, of somebody
allegedly
Alden Smith. We don't have time. We don't have time. Hey, coming up tomorrow on the show, we have audio of Alden Smith.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. And I'm sure the lowdown, they have the same sound. We'll leave for them. I don't know if Grant will play it or not, but we have the lowdown later today.
It might be his rant.
Grant Napier this afternoon, Jim Rome next. So, Darren McKee, thanks to him for showing up. All of you listening for Matt George in the studio. Nate Goodyear, Katie Christensen, welcome back. I'm Carmichael Dave. We'll see you tomorrow, 6 a.m. Enjoy the rest of your broadcast day on Sports 1140 KHDK.